This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're listening to a clip of Randy's song from Midnight Express, a native drumming group. You might hear music like these over the weekend at the Alliant Energy Center during the 47th annual On Wisconsin Annual Spring Powwow.
Faith Bowman joins us now to talk about this weekend's event. She's a second-year student at UW-Madison and a member of Wunk Sheek, UW-Madison's Native American student organization. They host the powwow. She's also a member of the Stockbridge Muncie Band of Mohican Indians. Faith, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's start with the basics. What is a powwow for people who haven't been to one, who don't know what they are?
Sure. So a powwow is a social gathering for the Native peoples. It's just a way for us to come together, sing, dance, visit, and renew our connections with one another. And it's also a way for us to pass on traditions. So you see at many powwows, you know, there's dancers from all walks of life. You have elders, young adults, even babies who are dancing around and wearing their regalias. And the regalias themselves are ways to present who they are and what tribe they're from. So it's just a big social gathering.
And the regalia is something that people might see and think, oh, that's the costume or the outfit. Regalia is actually the correct term for that, right?
Yeah, the correct term is regalia. To me, just the word costume, mm-hmm. it makes it seem like it's fake. But regalia, there's actually much thought that goes into it. So family members make pieces of the regalia. They might make some of the beadwork on it. The regalia often has the clan that the person is from. So if you're Bear Clan, there will be some representation that you are from the Bear Clan. Also, the applique that's on the regalias also tell you which tribe you're from. And that varies from each tribe. So Ho-Chunk applique is different from Stockbridge applique, which is different from Oneida, Potawatomi, Ojibwe applique. So,
and what's is there anything unique about the On Wisconsin annual spring powwow? What happens there in particular?
Yeah, so the On Wisconsin powwow is different because it's bringing together the whole community. It's bringing together both the UW university community as well as the Madison campus area community, and it has an educational component to it. So the whole reason why we put on a powwow is we're trying to provide UW-Madison students with the opportunity to engage in Native culture and for them to learn outside of the classroom and participate in a contemporary Native event and enhance their Wisconsin experience, because that's what the university is about. It's about the Wisconsin experience and the Wisconsin idea. But we're also putting it on for the Native community so that they can come together in Madison, because here in Madison you have a whole pot of different tribes here. You have Ho-Chunk, because this is Ho-Chunk land here, so there's a bunch of Ho-Chunk in the area. But then you also have people from Potawatomi, Oneida, Stockbridge, Menominee, and all the six bands of the Ojibwe. And so the On Wisconsin powwow tries to reach every type of audience here, including the children. So we have events, educational zones, as we call it, for the children to participate in, which you typically won't see if you go to another tribe's powwow. So this year we'll have a kids' corner where they can plant the three sisters. They'll also have coloring sheets where they get to learn about the three sisters. And just to be clear, the three sisters are corn, beans, and squash. So it's the sustenance of our tribe here. We also have a biologist coming from the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. So that's also there for the university students who just want to know about that, or who's interested in biology in particular. We also have activities that incorporate Native regalia and the languages of the tribes here in Wisconsin. So it's a mix between everything. So I think that educational component to our powwow is what really makes us stand out. In addition to that, we do have the dances in all styles that you would typically see at a powwow, as well as traditional and contemporary art vendors and traditional American Indian food.
We're talking to Faith Bowman, UW-Madison student, member of Wunk Sheek, and a member of the Stockbridge Muncie Band, looking at the On Wisconsin powwow going on this weekend. So I want to take both communities in turn, people from the public visiting and Native Americans participating. For people, Faith, maybe coming to their first ever powwow, what do they have to see? What are the must-dos for them when they're there?
I would recommend that they come during Grand Entry, because Grand Entry incorporates a lot of what the powwow is about. You see all types of dance styles. They all come in at once. And you also hear the drums that are going to be here singing different songs to welcome everybody to the powwow. You'll get to see or hear the host. You'll get to see who the head dancers are, junior and adult head dancers. You'll also get to see how we honor our veterans. I mean, at a powwow, we always honor them first, and we honor our flags and our nation. So I think they must come to a grand entry. It's grand for a reason. So I think that's one of the must things that they must do. I also think they should try the traditional American Indian food. I don't know if anybody's heard, but fried bread is always a big thing with us, and wild rice. So I would encourage them to try those foods. I would also encourage them to take a look at the traditional contemporary art vendors just to see how the Native community still incorporates our past into our present. There's beadworks from many styles, from different vendors, and they all have their different styles. There's T-shirts, and they take, you know, contemporary images, and they integrate it into Native culture. So I would encourage them to look at that as well.
That's an interesting point. I've seen efforts and campaigns making the case in the United States and in Canada that when you're talking about Native Americans, you're not talking about history. You're not just about history. These are vibrant, living cultures. How important is that message as part of the powwow?
I think that's one of the central messages as well. I mean, you can see in the regalias themselves, like, they are not buckskin. They're made of vibrant colors. Made from material that regular clothes is made from, like, it clearly is not something of the past. When you talk about our songs, I mean, there's so many songs that the drums sing. Some of them are traditional, but some of them are ones that they've created on their own for specific grand entry. I mean, the words that are spoken may be in the Native languages, but they themselves have their own message that they've created for today. So I think that is reflected in all aspects of our powwow here. I mean, just having the kids' corner is a way for us to bring that past into the present. I mean, we're still holding to our traditional values, but we're teaching it to the children who are here and now so they can know what we do now is not basically the same as what we did in the past. We are just like everyone else. We adapt, we integrate, and we change. We are not this static culture. We are dynamic.
And I understand there's two conferences going on this weekend, the UW-Madison Tribal Technology Institute and the Wisconsin Indian Education Association Conference. Is there overlap between the messages at the powwow and what these conferences might bring together?
I definitely think there could be. I'm not quite sure specifically what each will be talking about, but I do know that at least for the Tribal Technical Institute, the children will be coming to the powwow and they will be meeting with the student organization here on campus, Wangsheek, to actually talk and see, you know, that basically Native Americans do go to college. We do get an education, and this is their ultimate goal, is for you to come to college, for you to get your education so that you can go back to your community and use your knowledge to improve your community. So I definitely know that the Tribal Technical Institute will be at our powwow, and they'll be spending lots of time with the Native American student organization here.
And Faith, before I let you go, I got to ask, what are you looking forward to? What are you most excited about this weekend?
I'm most excited to see all my family members coming. I mean, I'm in Madison 365 days of the year, basically, and my mom and my family members who are on the reservation in Milwaukee, they're coming to our powwow, and they get to see, you know, all the hard work that we put into it. I'm very excited for that, but I'm also very excited to see how other people will react to the powwow and what they learn, because I always find myself in situations where I'm in the class and I already know this, but the questions that other people ask still surprise me. So I'm very excited to see what other people learn from our powwow.
Faith, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Faith Bowman, second-year student at UW-Madison, member of Wangsheek, and a member of the Stockbridge Muncie Band of the Mohican Nation. She joined us to talk about the On Wisconsin annual spring powwow this weekend at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison.
Coming up, it flavors everything from your lemonade to your chewing gum. We're going to talk about mint. It's in season now, and it's easy to grow at home. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Farah. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.